for Christmas. He said, I've just returned from carrying the cross in Nigeria. Wow, what a trip. All glory to God. On the night before I began carrying the cross, I found a small restaurant down the street from where I was staying. As I finished my meal, a tall gentleman wearing a white robe and a skull cap of a Muslim who's made the pilgrimage to Mecca came up to me and said, you must be a man of God. My name is Ahmed. I'm sorry to disturb you, but I've been watching you from across the street. I don't know if you know it or not, but there is a light shining around you that I could see from across the street. Four lanes of traffic. That lets me know that you must be a holy man sent from God or a prophet. I am seeking truth. There is something in my life that is missing and not right. I am sure that you can show me the truth and the way. He then told me he would like me to pray for him, and he came to know the light of the world. The next day, before I even completed putting the cross together, I had prayed with nearly a dozen men who were curious about what I was doing. And after talking with them for only a short while, they all said they wanted to seek after and follow Jesus. I hadn't preached, I hadn't carried the cross, but God was at work. And once I began walking, it was holy chaos. I could barely walk for the crowds that gathered around the cross to hear the message and have his light shine in their hearts. This was the story of our year. Taxis, airplanes, jungle huts, government buildings. Every country we went, everywhere we were, we found hungry people yearning to know the truth, yearning to know the love, yearning to know Jesus. Yes, seeking to live in a way of the cross can be hot, tiring, and so very unglamorous. But I have a front row seat to watch Jesus in action, and I fall more and more in love with him each and every day. Amen. Isn't that awesome? So it's looking like February 7th, we're going to get to have Keith come again. He came last year. He's a good friend. Man, love him. Okay. So back from Costa Rica, Mr. Caleb Jones and his girlfriend, Joy. Welcome, Joy. If you don't know Caleb, Caleb was one of the beginning members, starters of the church, and he's been a huge, huge chunk of what you get to experience today. And so back this summer, he felt like the Lord was calling him to go down to Costa Rica for some training, and so we sent him out, and then he's here. I want him to share just a couple of testimonies of the last semester, and then what he's doing next.
Oh, yeah, awesome. Thank you, thank you. God is just so good, isn't he? He's just so good. Oh, I love him so much. Man, I love that testimony. That's incredible. Oh, man. It's awesome to be here again, and I just love everyone here. So, this is Joy. We're both coming from Costa Rica, and I just wanted to share a few things that have been going on down there. I could talk probably for hours about it because there was so much that happened, but... So we were doing a treasure hunt one day, and I could talk about that for an hour itself. But in the treasure hunt, at the end of it, we were eating, and we saw to the side. We were in the middle of a park, and we saw that there are kids playing. It was their National Independence Day or something like that. It was a big crazy national holiday there. So there are kids playing on drums and stuff, and being the musician I am, I was like, all right, I want to go show them up, you know? But there were kids. I didn't actually show them up. But I was like, hey, we walked up to them and, like, hey, can you show us how to play? So they started playing, and we had a translator with us, and they started playing, and they gave us the drums, and we started playing. And one of the members of our team, she came up, and she felt in her heart that she just wanted to, since we drew a crowd with that, and she wanted just to preach and preach God's word to everyone who gathered around in this park. So she's bold. she's really bold. So she started preaching the gospel and asking if anyone wanted to get saved. And most of the adults were kind of like, not really. But the kids who play the instruments, they're like, we want to get saved. We want to know that. We want that. So after playing and having a great time with them, we prayed for the kids, and they got saved. It was incredible. It was awesome. It was awesome. And one of the kids... We asked them what they wanted after the end of it, like the Holy Spirit could give them. And one of them said, I want to see my dad again. I want to see my dad. So we prayed for that. And another boy said, I just want to be better at drums. So I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, give him more ability to play drums. So I don't know. We got to bless him. It was awesome. It was really cool. So we've been able to see God do really, really cool things in Costa Rica, and he's moving in big ways down there, and he's pushing against the culture that's down there, because it's a pretty laid back culture, and the majority of everyone is Catholic. So it's like whenever stuff like this happens in Costa Rica, it's like, okay, wait, what's going on? So they're doing a great job down there. And one other testimony I just wanted to share real quick was about a lady. We had invested in a church, and they had started praying for healings, which was awesome at this church. And they would bring people up at the end of the service and pray for healing. This one lady came up. Our team was there praying for people, and she came up, and we didn't understand what was wrong with her. We just prayed. but after that service, she went home, and apparently she had cancer, she still had cancer. She felt real bad after that, like something in her stomach, and she went home, and she laid down for like an hour. And after that, she got up, and as she stood up, like, the cancer that was on her fell straight off. Like, the Holy Spirit worked in her sleep and, like, worked it through the prayer. And it wasn't even our team that prayed for her either. It was our presence with the congregation that was around her, because we didn't lay hands on her. There was another member of the church who did, but we encouraged that, you know? So it's not about us and how we can pray for people and everything. It's not like that. It's about, you know, how God just chooses to love no matter what. He just comes in, and he breaks in, and he heals, and he encourages and uplifts, and he breaks off all sorts of crazy junk in our life, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So we're happy to be here, and it's fun to be back, but it's been incredible. I just wanted to share a few of those with you. Right now, we're in Dallas. We're going to be going to the Upper Room, if anyone knows what that is, yeah. And we're going to be helping out with them, but we're close to here, so we can come up every once in a while and hang out, so... It's awesome.
Woo. We love you, buddy. Homero, come on forward. We have financial reports for you guys in your giving statements Homero's got for you. But I asked Homero to put together this little guy here, just a quick little review of 2015 and the finances. So I'm going to pass these out. He's just going to kind of give a quick little update on the money.
Very good. Well, as Grant's passing those out, what you're going to get is basically a summary of last year, just income and expenses, and then what was accomplished through some of those outward ministry givings. If you guys want it more detailed, if you're really interested in really getting into it, I do have about six full-length financial reports for the year. I'm going to have them back there with me. I'm also going to have our year-end statements. So if you're expecting one from the church this year, just come back there and see me. If not, I'll just mail them out. But you can get yours today if you're able to. So just come see me after the service, and I will give those out to you. Okay, so it looks like most of you have your summary. So if we look at the income summary, you will see that compared to the previous 3 years of the church, you will see how we did last year, just in tithes, building giving, and other income. So as you can see, the bulk of what we accomplished, at least financially, was this past year. It was really a breakthrough year where God really started rolling on things, and obviously there's more to come with that. So... with anything that's included in other income, it's just very miscellaneous things, specific givings to mission trips, conference fees, book sales, all that is bundled into that other income. If you want to know the full story, again, just come get the full summary and I will give that to you. Expenses, this on that next sheet, on the next part right there, as you can see, if you look at it, if you're a graph person or a numbers person, either way. But the bulk of our expenses was that building transition and rent. So normally that's pretty typical. What I want to highlight, though, are the three bold or capitalized categories: ministry giving, compassion giving, and outreach giving. As you guys have probably heard Grant say many times, our church gives 10% to each one of those categories. So 30% outwardly, outside the church. So this is off of tithes and offerings only. So ministry giving is any ministry outside of our walls, pretty much. Whether it be a ministry, supporting a missionary, just an extra, anything beyond the love offering for like a guest speaker, that's where that's going to be at. So we are at $5,500 for the year. Compassion giving is pretty much just anywhere there's a need, we want to be the church and we want to be the people that are there, and we want to, you know, share among the believers as well as needs arise. So that compassion giving is at $4,800, and that is actually outlined on the bottom right. We didn't show anything specific, but just kind of typical things that are done through that. Whether it's a bike, sleeping bag, just very random things, car battery. A lot of these are just family assistance for rent, food. One of the big ones was apartment gift cards. I think we just went throughout the... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it was a very, we just kind of blitzed the apartments, and I think we just gave them away as... pretty much no strings attached. It's just we love you, and we gave them away. So the final one is outreach giving. Is any time that we have an outreach, Halloween, other types of apartment blitzes that we've done, that is designated under outreach. And under ministry supported, I didn't go over that, but this just kind of shows examples. Or specific, actually, amounts that we've given to ministries or missionaries in one way or another sent from our church. This is just a summary. If you ever have any questions, just come ask me, come email me, call me. I'm very open just talking to anybody about anything about this. The church is very transparent. We want to, you know, show exactly what we're doing with every single dollar that is given. On that hand as well, if this kind of stuff is actually interesting to you, you're not bored to death right now, let me know, you know, because we would love to maybe have at least another person really working in just some of the bookkeeping and, you know, just some of the week-to-week stuff that we do here. So if you're interested, let me know or let Grant know, and we'd definitely be interested in talking to you.
Awesome. Are y'all thankful for this guy? This is not even the tip of the iceberg of how much he does for us, especially in the finances, and I would be just in a lot of trouble without Omer Mendoza. They were our first family in the church, and I'm just so thankful for you, bro. Appreciate it. Okay, awesome. All right, I have a semester dates calendar. I'm going to go ahead and pass out now, but I'm going to talk about it later. So don't spend time staring at it. Got it? Got it? Say yes, Grant. I will not stare at it. I'm not going to do that. Okay, I'm going to fly through today. Basically, I just want to go through some highlights of 2015 and then kind of talk about, let's just celebrate what the Lord's done this last year, some of the fun stuff, and then let's look forward about where the Lord's taking us this next year. Okay? Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a look. Does my thing work yet? He's fixing it. All right. Come on, buddy. Work. Okay. Highlights. There we go. All right. First highlight. We moved out of Mac U. Woo! This is our, this is us worshiping at Mac U. There's John worshiping his tail off. And then we moved into this beautiful, beautiful building over here. It's called the Oric Building over by Panera. Raise your hand if you're over at the Oric Building with us. Awesome stuff. So that was church for a while. We got moved over there and then started having church over at the Oric Building, which was fun and exciting. Okay, I need my notes so I don't forget anything. Earlier in the year, we started doing this declaration. We've been doing it since the beginning. But last January, February, March, April-ish, probably the first 3 months of last year, it was crazy. It's like every single thing on that list started happening, like in people. And so I have lists of testimonies of, oh my gosh, a check literally just fell from my cabinet and fell on my head. A check. Oh my gosh, I got a check in the mail. Oh my goodness, I got a settlement. from decades ago that we haven't thought about for years. Oh my goodness, I just got a call for X number of jobs. You know what I mean? Just like thing after thing after thing after thing. Literally, I'm honest. Every single one of these things happened in our little tiny church last January, February, March. Isn't that so cool? So that was a lot of fun. Then we started doing outreaches near Panera. And that season for us, I felt like the Lord said, I want you to outreach like crazy, but I'm not ready to grow the church. So it's kind of like, obedient. Are you going to obey me or not? For me personally, I love to start stuff. I love to start businesses. And I've told the story before, but when we started the church, I was like, yeah, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to gather. And the Lord said, no. That's not how I want you to start. I want you to do nothing. And so we've been in a journey for the last couple years, I guess. I don't know. Of trying not to presume that we know how the Lord wants to run this church, because we've done church stuff before. So that was a big lesson for us. But then just really carefully submitting everything to the Lord, saying, I only want to do what you want us to do. And at times, that was really frustrating for my flesh, you know, because I'd have friends, they'd go start churches, and they've got, you know, 200 people in a short amount of time. And I'm like, Lord, what the heck? Come on. What's going on? And he would continually just tell me, no, don't do this, only do this. No, don't do that. Over the time frame, I had several people, three different pastors who had the churches that popped up all of a sudden, maybe had 80 people or 100 people. And they would say, Grant, man, if I could do anything, if I could go back and do anything at all, I would, one of them inherited 100 people. He said, I would shut it down and I would go back and I would start with a tiny, tiny, tiny core group and build DNA and build family and then launch again out of that tiny group. And so I had three separate people along the way tell me that. And every time I'm like, okay, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. I just appreciate it. It's great. You know, do your thing. And the Lord, he would continue to talk to me about, look, if I flood this place with people right now, they're going to begin to shape the DNA and the culture of the house, and I don't get to shape it. He said, this is too precious for me to let the DNA get screwed up in this season. So I am purposely, I have my hand on you, and I will not let it happen, because the DNA is very important to me. And so that's kind of where we've been the last couple of years. The Lord has been shaping DNA and culture and creating a family that's going after the things that are on his heart for this area, for us specifically. And let me be clear, a lot of churches are doing things that are on God's heart for that church. We are doing what's on God's heart for our church for this area, right? And so he's had his thumb on it. Sometimes it feels like where he's just like driving down, you know, keeping us in one spot. But he's developing culture. He's developing DNA. And today we get to enjoy a lot of that.
Can I say something? Mm? It really is, life begins at conception, but you have 9 months of a baby being formed when every vital organ is created.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So he told us to start reaching out. We reached out to 4 very large neighborhoods, door by door, knocking on the doors, offering to pray for the sick, giving them stuff, inviting them to church, leaving them on every single door, and then a huge apartment complex. We're talking at least 1,500 houses that we personally went door by door, knocking, hey, do you have a church? We'd love to pray for you. Anything you need, we're here. And I think we had one person show up in the whole time that we were at Panera. But it's okay. The Lord said, you're not going to grow now, but I need you to do this. Okay, yes. With the Lord, we will. One of our fun ones was Valentine's. We took a bunch of, we took gifts. Hey, Jesus loves you a ton. We want to give you a Valentine's gift. That was a lot of fun. Okay. Then we'd found this building. Same time we moved into the other one, but it was a long way from finished. So we were raising money to get moved into here. And a lot of people sacrificed a whole lot of money, but we're still in need. And so one day I got a phone call out of the blue from this church. It's right up the road, just up Janeway, next to the elementary. It's the Catholic church over here. Luke's maybe? I forget. And they said, hey, we're throwing away all of our pews. We're replacing them. If you want them, you can come get them. And so the Lord supernaturally provided for the pews for us, which is a lot of work. And we stored them in this building here, and the tornado came. And the tornado completely destroyed the entire building except for our pews, which were getting picked up that morning. So we're moving the pews out, and the building's destroyed. And we're still like, yeah, the Lord is good. Thank you, Jesus. So he provided for us supernaturally. We came over here. This is this building. We came and prayed on a Sunday morning with our little tiny crew, just asking that the Lord would permeate the soil and bring his presence in this house, and started sowing in that way, which was a lot of fun. Then we were still in Panera. We started doing our outreaches in Nottingham, which were so much fun. And guys, we went for it. You guys went for it. We did surveys for at least half of the apartments across the street. Went door to door. Hey, we got some questions. We wanted to find out, who are these people? What's their life situation? How can we help best? And then we took cookies to every single apartment over there in Nottingham. And then we threw a giant cookout. And we had, you know, maybe close to 100 people come out to that. Then we threw another cookout. Another 100 people come out for that. And we just had some really fun outreaches. And then Makobe and Caitlin started going over there, especially Makobe, all the time, just praying for people, night and day, all the time. And before long, people will be walking around in the apartments, but, oh, hey, you're the prayer people. Get over here. I want to pray for you. And miracles and miracles and healings. So that was a lot of fun. Then we had our last Sunday morning over at Panera, which I'm very thankful for. Adios, Panera. And Abner Suarez came the very first Sunday morning that we had here. So this, Abner told me 3 months out, you know, he said something really strange. We were supposed to move in here like May, or no, we were supposed to move in January a year ago, and it kept getting postponed. So then we were like, May, it's happening. April, actually Easter was the big push. We're going to be in Easter. No, and Abner told me in the spring, dude, this weird thing happens, man. I'm excited to do a new building, but I don't know. It's strange. Like, seems like I'm always the first guy in people's new buildings. And I was like, ha! Yeah, right. That ain't never going to happen. We're going to be in for months and months and months. And guess what? Abner Suarez was the first one in the building. In July, yeah. And Abner came and brought us a great word, gave the church some really great prophetic things about who we are as a church and what we're called to do. But this was really significant for me. Okay, so I've been on a journey with the Holy Spirit and with the Lord, learning about the power of the Lord for several years. And I've been impacted by the power of the Lord a lot. I've seen it happen a lot, flowed out of me some, but never necessarily in because of us in our own building, in our own place. So, you know, we always kind of go somewhere else and experience it. And I'll tell some stories this morning I don't want to harp on, but I just love... it's crazy to me that the Holy Spirit, who we can't see, comes and physically touches people, and they experience him sometimes where they can't stand up, or sometimes where they feel heat or fire, or sometimes where they feel electricity. It's just crazy. And then because of those things, they end up living their lives oftentimes differently and more full of the Holy Spirit and more full of power, and it's just a crazy thing. I love it. I love it. I don't want to emphasize it too much, you know, but I just love it. So Abner comes in, and this was the first time in Bethel, OKC, where that kind of stuff started to happen, was the night that Abner came. And I don't know if you know this or not, but we were trying so hard to catch everybody that we could, but we walked away from one guy who was done, and the Holy Spirit just blasted him. And we were trying so hard to protect everybody. Holy Spirit just blasted him. He's a visitor. He broke our wall. I don't know if you can see it over here. There's a hole in my wall because the Holy Spirit knocked somebody over, right? That was the first night in the building. Amazing. And again, I don't want to overemphasize that. And if that's new to you, like, don't be freaked out. I'd love to talk about it. But I love that stuff. So Abner comes in. That was amazing. A few weeks later, Tommy Welch comes in and tells us the most mind-boggling stories of revival that we've ever heard, right? The one that sticks out is the guy from the Azusa Street Revival like 100 years ago, the man who came into the revival without an arm, and they prayed for him, and his arm grew out, and he left with fingernails. Yeah. What? Gosh. Okay, so Tommy prays. And John and Candace had been hoping for a baby for quite a while, having some trouble. And I remember that morning, I was like, you have to get him to pray for him. Because he has a strange anointing when he prays for people who are hoping to have a baby. They have babies. And so I was like, you guys have to get him to pray. So this is John and Candace right before Tommy prays for him. And he's sitting right over here. And he looks at him like serious. And he goes, do you remember exactly? I don't remember exactly. Like nothing. And then nothing for a while. And guess what?
That was what? At the end of August?
That was, yeah, August-ish, yeah.
And then we found out that we were going
to be in November. Woo! Yeah! And they weren't supposed to be. It's supposed to take a long, 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 long time. Praise the Lord. So fun. Man, it was a holy moment. When he looked at him in his Tommy Welchel, now, listen, you understand, I'll pray for you. You're going to get pregnant. It's like, whoa. Guys, you want to stop? And like, you don't have to get prayed for. Man, it was awesome. Powerful morning. And then just after that, we went to VOA. And I wanted to go to VOA with our people because I've been very deeply impacted by Voice of the Apostles Conference. Obviously, our church is a part of Randy Clark's network, and so it's a huge part for me. But I had no idea the way that the Lord was personally going to change people's lives that week. I just had no idea. I was kind of thinking, we're going to see some cool meeting. Really, the number one thing I wanted people to see is the healing services at these conferences are literally 400 people stand up that just got healed supernaturally, are waving their hands up above their head, and then there's people on stage with like metal in their bodies that, you know, couldn't turn their necks, and now they're like fully healed. It's crazy. But that was like the least of the stuff that we got out of Voice of the Apostles. And so we go to a conference, and then the conference is over, it's time for lunch, and be like, hey, where's so-and-so? They'd be like, oh, they got jacked again by the Holy Spirit. They're laying on the floor, we'll catch up with them in a few hours. And it was like every single session, somebody from the group was across the building somewhere being very powerfully changed by the Holy Spirit, most of the time with nobody praying for them at all. Just, do you mind if I say something? So Anne, she's my favorite. Gosh. Anne goes up and I think four times in, she goes up for ministry. And so I talked to her after the fourth time and she's been laid out. She's just unable to stand anymore. She falls over every time. And she goes, man, well, I finally found this one area that had some carpet. So my goal next time is to try to make it as fast as I can to the carpet before I fall out. And then the next time I talk to her, I'm going to bring my pillow next time because like she, like the Holy Spirit draw her up and she gets up to the front and the what? It's crazy. So people were very powerfully changed that one week in Nashville, Tennessee. It never happened to her. And that sparked just an incredible work of the Lord the last several months. It was beautiful. Will was telling me a couple of days ago, Will is a son-in-law to Ann. And he was like, dude, she's a different person. She's a completely different person. Big time. And I know it's a huge difference after this conference. All right. So then we come back home and Heidi Baker's at Crossroads Church. We just seen Heidi. Heidi did the kids camp in Voice of the Apostles. And my son got jacked by the Lord and got the gift of tongues with Heidi Baker, of all people. Oh, my gosh. So we come back. She's up the road, 1 mile up the road. And she has an impartation. Who wants to come and die and ruin your life for Jesus? Like literally, Caleb's first one out there. He runs up on stage. He gets right in the middle of the thing. And the Holy Spirit just, man, blasts him hard. It was a very powerful impartation. Do what? Oh, yeah. That was a little. Oh, yeah. We don't talk about that. No. Some people got confused. And they didn't understand which side was happening. And anyway. It was at least an hour. I don't know. It was maybe longer. hour, something like that. And so I see him the next day, and I'm like, dude, how was it? Y'all can't see it because of the lights. Can you turn the lights off real fast? Okay, so I see him the next day. He's on the ground, convulsing, sort of, on the carpet right there, okay? So I see him the next day, and I'm like, Caleb, what is on your head? And he's like, oh, it's a bruise. Because I was, he got a rug burn from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let him off. And he had a rug burn on his foot too. Guys, like I've dreamt of stuff like this, of my friends encountering the Lord like this, and it's happening, right? Oh my gosh. So I'm freaking out. Okay. So then we started a youth group. Yeah. Woo! Holy smokes. Amazing. So fun. We did this movie night outreach. That was amazing. We had 14 people that night say that they wanted Jesus in their hearts. It was a powerful night. And then shortly after that, we started the Power to Heal stuff. First night, Power to Heal. Rachel and I are, it's impartation night. And Rachel and I have no idea what to expect. We're kind of thinking like it'll be just a nice little, like no big deal. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's knocking people out. We're like, we're staring at each other like jaw dropped. Like, what the heck? In our church? What? Through this? Like, no special person's here? There's no, like, big man of God to do anything? Like, the Holy Spirit's just doing this. Gosh, my heart beats. Again, let me just triple emphasize. That is not, like, what life is about, okay? Life is about giving your heart to Jesus and following with everything that you can. I just love it when the Holy Spirit comes and changes us in a moment. That's part of why the church is called Bethel, is because in the Bible, it talks about this place where the heavens opened, and in a moment, an encounter with God changed a dude's life who was a bad dude, and all of a sudden became the pioneer of a giant move of God throughout all of history, right? So when the Holy Spirit comes, in a moment, everything can change. That's why I love it so much. Okay, so Power to Heal impartation night one, which was amazing. Then we had our accidental blind eye healed. Prayed for arthritis, or what was it, arthritis or carpal tunnel? Carpal tunnel. Fire of God comes on her. Carpal tunnel is healed. Awesome. They leave her alone. Fire of God doesn't leave her alone. And all of a sudden, her eyeball is burning. And nobody knew it was blind except for Eddie. It had been blind for 9 years. And all of a sudden, fire of God is burning her eye, and she can see out of her blind eyeball. Right? What? Oh, my gosh. Guys. Okay, so then I went to Brazil. And, okay, I'm just going to be really honest, vulnerable. Oftentimes, I had wondered to myself, gosh, I wonder how long it takes, or like what level do you have to get to of maturity or hunger or whatever to where you're the person praying and the Holy Spirit comes through you. You know, like for years, 5 years, 6 years, gosh, I hope someday in my life, maybe when I'm 80, something like that could happen. And so we come back. I wasn't intending to do an impartation time, but I think Makobi was like, dude, you got to do an impartation. I was like, okay, fine. I wasn't expecting anything. I think my eyes were closed. And all of a sudden, Holy Spirit's jacking people. And it caught me off guard big time. I was like, whoa, shoot. I'm sorry. What happened, right? Oh, he's so good. Then we launched our team captains, which was huge. Okay, so up till now, the church was me and Rachel. Just doing a whole bunch of stuff that we probably shouldn't be doing. And the Lord was like, you have to get team captains going. This is so very important. And so we launched the team captains, which was huge. And that allowed us to pull off the most amazing Halloween outreach of my life. It was so good. We had so many different booths. These little teddy bears that Kathy brought us. Jack and Callie, their favorite animals are still from this little table right here. They take it everywhere. They're so dirty and nasty. So we had an amazing time. Halloween, let's see. And then we started taking cookies out to visitors that came to the church. Miss Ann over here, hospitality queen. She's baked over. We didn't count really, but we just estimated as best we could. I'm thinking at least 500, but I'll say 400 cookies have been given in the name of Jesus, blessing people, let them know. So here we are, 2015. We have seen dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of healings. It's very normal for the church. We've had cancer healed in the church, blind eye healed. Almost $75,000 have been come through this little tiny, tiny church for the glory of God. Isn't that amazing? And then we've supported missionaries in Canada, Mexico, U.S., Chile, South Africa, Indonesia, Panama, Bolivia, Thailand, Paraguay, Guatemala, Costa Rica, and more. You guys are impacting literally many nations of the earth, and we figure 1,500 hours of collective prayer and worship just this last year, pulling heaven down, and then we had one heck of a Christmas party, capped off by a great little video. Oh my gosh, that was awesome. Okay, you turn the lights up. Thank you, Homero. Okay. I'm going to fly through this. Maybe we'll touch on it more next week or something. So we've had, guys, I don't know if you'll understand this, but most pastors in America would die to have one of the things I just listed happen in their church in their lifetime. And this is your normal, right? This is the DNA that the Lord's created as he's had his thumb on us. I can't even imagine what's next. So here's what I feel like he's saying for this year. I feel like he has been extremely diligent, not me, not Rachel. He has been extremely diligent to establish the DNA that he has dreamt of. And I feel like the DNA is, for the most part, established. And I feel like now he's kind of taking his thumb off and saying, let's run. This is the year to run. This is the year to grow, 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 to advance the kingdom of God like crazy. This is the year to become an even more healthy church in all different ways. And as we become even more healthy, these things will become extremely commonplace, and a whole lot more people are going to get to be impacted by it as well. Amen? So I asked him, I said, Daddy, tell me again what you're dreaming about this year for the church. And just here's a quick little thing I felt like the Lord said back. Growth, growth, growth. You see that list above? I'm dreaming of that list multiplying. All of those things and much, much more happening this year. I'm dreaming of an extremely healthy church that lets me lead. I'm dreaming of a family like a tribe that is running after the same things that are on my heart, and they work together to care for each other and to accomplish my dreams on the earth. I'm dreaming of reaching many, many people who are currently far from me and drawing them into my goodness through this family of love. The dreams on my heart for you guys are so beautiful and exciting, but they're hard to explain. Just press in and run, and you'll have the ride of your life. Amen. Isn't that good? So here's my rally cry. This year, we are positioned to do incredible things in the kingdom of God. The Lord has painstakingly implanted DNA into this body. He's diligently created a culture and a people and a church that he's been dreaming of having in this part of Oklahoma City for years. I believe we have been faithful to obey to the very best of our ability and allow him to do the things his way. And now I believe in 2016, he wants to launch us out in a powerful way. I believe this year will be an explosive year of growth and advancement of the kingdom of God. That's going to happen as we continue to stick to the core pillars and vision that the Lord has given us for the church. That will happen as we continue to commit to the vision of Bethel OKC and to each other. That will happen as we continue to value God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, each as the bedrock of this house. That will happen as we understand that this church is not led by one person, but by many who simply bring to the table their gifts for the purpose of equipping the saints to become all they were created to be. That will happen as we continue to build a healthy family of believers who love each other like heaven loves each other. That will happen as we continue to corporately and individually partner with heaven through prayer and worship. That will happen as we continue to believe that each person is uniquely created by God to be someone that nobody else on the earth can be. And if we will put a little fuel on their fire, we will get to see people be launched into the dreams of God's heart for them. And that will happen as we dedicate our hearts to the lost and broken and hurting in our area, like Jesus commands us to do, and to go and love them and draw them back into his arms. So will you link arms with us this year to bring heaven's ways to earth like we've never seen before? So practically, you've got your little calendar there. I'm just going to fly through these dates real quick. Put this on your fridge. These dates are very likely to change. Be aware. But we did our very best. If you want to really stay up to date, the weekly emails go out. Be sure you're on that list. And the Facebook, we try to update that pretty regularly. So those two things you definitely want to be a part of. Yeah, make sure you're following Bethel OKC Facebook. Weekly happenings, the youth group happens every Sunday night. Sunday celebrations at 10:30, prayer and worship at 7. All right? So in January, I'm just going to fly through a few things. Like I said, we're going for health. Okay? I really believe that if we will focus on being a healthy church, everything else is just going to take care of itself, okay? So, community groups, I can't stress enough. I know we had one last year. We're trying to get four up and running right now. They're a little slow in coming, but I cannot stress enough the value of community groups for establishing the culture that the Lord wants to put in this house. I know sometimes it feels just kind of like hanging out, having fun. The community groups are a giant piece of the puzzle that the Lord gave to us, and we need to be diligent too. So I want to encourage everybody, jump into a community group. Let your heart be linked with other people in a personal, in an intimate way, okay? So community groups are happening. If you don't know, we've got the Empty Nesters group. We've got a families group. We've got a young adults group, and we've got the youth group. January 29th, we're going to start doing some men's nights, some men hangouts. So mark your calendar. We're going to go to a campfire. February 5th, the women are going to hang out again, sisterhood. February 7th is Super Bowl Sunday. It's looking like Keith Wheeler is going to be here to share stories with us. And then February 19th, we'll do a men's lunch during the daytime. Once a month, we're going to start doing these outreach days. I skipped over that in January. Once a month, I'm just going to stick a stake in the ground. One time every month, we're doing outreach. And I don't feel like everybody has to show up for these times because I want to respect your time. I want to respect your family life and make sure that you have a healthy flow at home. So please never feel pressure to show up to stuff that we're doing. But I felt it was important to stick a stake in the ground and say, this is one of our four pillars. This is a major thing that the Lord said must be on the front of our minds at all times. We have to continually push. That's why we give 10% specifically for advancing the gospel through outreach, is so that we're constantly pushing forward. So one time a month, if you want to be a part of those times, I want to create a little team. And in my mind, maybe we have a few people here praying and worshiping, and then a few people maybe prayer walking, maybe a few people going and knocking on doors or praying for the sick around town. It can look different every time, but I just want to stick a stake in the ground. Once a month, every month, we are going out on a Saturday and we're going to advance the gospel. Amen. So that's January 24th, February 20th. Moving into March, we're going to have another outreach day in the beginning of March, community groups, Good Friday service, and then Easter service. If you're a youth and you're going on Youth Power Invasion, it's anybody under 29 is allowed to go to Brazil and have your life completely changed forever and see the most amazing stuff you could ever dream of. That's called Youth Power Invasion. It's a lot. 3,000, 3,500. But we're going to send support letters. We're going to do garage sales. We're going to do fundraisers. We're going to... So we will all believe together for the faith. The visa. You got it. Okay. Into April, we're having a conference. This will be our first legit conference called Kingdom Come Conference. We won't call it Kingdom Come Conference. We'll just call it Kingdom Come. Timothy Berry was Randy Clark's first intern. I'll talk more about it, but the dude's unbelievable. He's extremely down to earth. He's non-Pentecostal in the least. but he's very full of the power of God. Very pastoral, incredible teacher. But then when he closes the book and he wants to pray for people, he's seen over 50 deaf ears opened. He's seen just everything you could think of. I was touched by the Lord in a way unlike I ever have by anybody else, including Randy Clark, when Timothy prayed for me. So he's coming here, and he's bringing like 5 or 6 interns and his wife and his daughter. And we're going to do an equipping conference. It's going to be amazing. So mark your calendars. You don't want to miss. Oh, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to finish up here. Men's retreat day, May 14th. Yeah, the global team's coming 2 weeks later in April. We're going to do a giant outreach that weekend. The global interns are coming, 3 or 4 or 5 of them, and we're going to use them to go do our outreach around the area and just blast the place like crazy. So they're coming April 21st, 24th, and then men's retreat in June. You got Love More Outreach, June 17th through the 18th. So we're going to kind of do a big outreach together as a church family. I would love to bring in like a youth group from another church or people from another church, whatever, to help love the heck out of one area of our town. Maybe we go and we mow grass and we clean windows and we throw trash away. And then we do a big party that night, preach the gospel, pray for the sick, that kind of thing. So that's Love More. Youth Power Invasions, June 29th through July 12th. Reinhard Bonnke is doing a crusade in Oklahoma City, August 20th, 21st. And then Voice of the Apostles, October 21st, 18th through 21st. I highly encourage everybody in the room, save up your money, get your tail up to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania for Voice of the Apostles. It will change your life, okay? All right, last thing we're going to do, and then we're done. In front of your seats, you got the little Connect card. Here's what I want you to do. As we're looking towards this year, my rally cry is come link arms with us. Help us to do what the Lord's dreaming of this year. Commit to these community groups. Commit to the outreaches. Commit to the men's and the women's stuff. Commit to helping create a healthy family. We need help, and we need your time and effort to pull all this off. We need help with the finances. We need help with people running the screen and the sound. We need help with children's ministry. A lot of help with children's ministry. We need help with outreach leadership. We need help with your dream. We need help with hospitality, taking visitors, all this kind of stuff. We need help. We need a lot of help. And I can't do it all. I'm not going to do it all. I need your help. So will you take the Connect card that's in front of you, and you can just put your name on there and take a second and say, okay, Lord, am I in or out? What do you want me to do? And then is there a certain area that you are really excited about helping with? That, hey, Grant, I will be at all the outreaches. Hey, Grant, I'm totally up for helping with kids. Hey, Grant, I would love to take cookies to visitors. Whatever it is, write that in the contact card. And then here in like 3-4 minutes, we're going to pick up those cards with the tithe buckets.